Welcome into Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri. I'm Bill Pollack. The town of Hannibal is known around the world and associated with Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, and steamboats on the Mississippi. That's what Dia Hoover has learned from her travels. She's the author of Hannibal, A Walk Through History.
I would tell them that it is America's hometown, not only by its official trademark and logo that they have on the water tower and on all of their collateral, but that it really is in the minds of people from all over the world. Mark Twain was the consummate American and still continues to be. Many people quote his writings. They think that Main Street and Tom and Becky are still there in our state. And I don't think we realize it. I didn't as a kid, you know, and many people around. And Hannibal is the place that people recognize. When I became a tour director and I would immigrate into another country, you have to put the city of your birth and the country. Well, mine was Hannibal because Vandalia, Missouri was too small to have a hospital. And every single time it's like, oh, Mark Twain or Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn. I mean, everybody knew it. It just stunned me. And that's when I realized like what a big deal it is.
Well, and let's go into Mark Twain, or also his real name, Samuel Clemens. Do you know how he chose the alias Mark Twain?
Yes, because he was on the riverboats. And how do you tell the depth of a riverboat? Well, back in the 1800s, you dropped a rope into the water to see how deep the water was. And if it was deep enough, you would say Mark, and then the other person would say Twain. If it wasn't deep enough, you'd just say Mark. So he chose Mark Twain because it meant the water was deep and it was safe. And I will tell you this, as a business person, as an author, having two one-syllable names is perfect. It's like the perfect pen name.
No, absolutely. It's definitely a great identifier, that's for sure. See all these years, and I didn't even know that myself, and now I know. You mentioned the riverboats, and that's one thing that I wanted to dovetail into, is just the importance of the steamboat to Hannibal itself.
Well, the thing about the steamboats is it changed everything because it allowed commerce to be carried from north to south in our country and east to west. It gave people the ability to leave their town. What Sam Clemens loved about being in Hannibal was meeting the riverboats as they came in. You know, and you would have 100 boats sometimes coming in and out during a day. So much business was done in Hannibal. They built a second courthouse for Marion County, so no one had to get on a horse and carriage to go try to take care of a title or a deed or a marriage license or death certificate in Palmyra, Missouri, because it was not on the river. So to this day, there are still two active courthouses in Marion County because of the business of the riverboat. Well, and it's one of these things where imagine living in Hannibal and seeing people that look differently than you, that spoke differently than you, even just people coming back and forth from St. Louis, because you still had the French and the Spanish influence, and you had people that had lived in other cities, you know, living there, and talk about opening up the world. You know, it was like when I was a kid in Vandalia, like when Van Farr went to across the state to compete, or like when I went to Washington, D.C., that just opened my eyes and to everything, you know, that was not in my little small town.
You talk about all the business that was in Hannibal and how much of kind of an epicenter of a marketplace that it was. That kind of just explains why there's all of these old-time, massive Gilded Age mansions in the area. Can you talk about these? Because I'm looking through your book here, and it's just these miraculous, beautiful, decadent mansions.
Indeed. So first you had the riverboat money. So remember that the steamboat captains were the rock stars of the middle 1800s. They made about $1,500 a month when the average person made $60 to $90 a month. They didn't have to buy clothes to wear to work because they had uniforms. They didn't have to cook their own meals because they lived on the boat for 30 days at a stretch, and they had housing. So they had all this pocket money. So what they would do is invest in homes up and down the river. So that's why Louisiana, Missouri has, you know, the beautiful homes on Georgia Street. That's why Lafayette Square in St. Louis has the beautiful Victorians. That's why, you know, anywhere that's along a river, they would buy land. And that's where the money came from. Like the street in St. Louis called Vandeventer. I'm like, this is such a weird name. He was a boat captain. He bought all this land. And then he owned some of his own boats. And he sold it off. And that's why there's Vandeventer Avenue. And then after the steamboat started happening, you had the lumber business. You had the lumber barons. So there's so much money in Hannibal because they would cut the trees up north, send them down the Mississippi River. They would get processed in Hannibal, and then they could be taken on the railroad over to St. Joe, Missouri, because there was a railroad line that ran back and forth. So you had the lumber money. Then you had the tobacco money. That's where the Garth money came from. You see the Garth Public Library and the Garth Mansion. That was where the tobacco processing happened. So all of that was happening because you had the railroad and you had the river. The thing about the river, the least expensive way to really move any kind of commodity, but you can only go where the river goes. Once they built the railroads, it changed. Then you could go anywhere that the railroad was built.
We're talking with Dia Hoover. She is the author of the book Hannibal, A Walk Through History, and it basically just outlines everything that you would need to know about Hannibal. And one of the most important things that you mentioned in this, Dia, is the importance of women in the Hannibal area. And you have women that have, whether it's someone who was the first woman to vote after the 19th Amendment came out, or someone who struck it rich in Colorado and was a part of the Titanic. How did you have to go through the history books to find all of these stories?
Well, I want to give a great big thank you to all the women that helped me. So Mary Lou Montgomery was the editor of the Hannibal Courier Post, and she has written several books about women and women in Missouri. And she was very open to helping me with the book, and I was very grateful for that. Faye Dant, who runs the Jim's Journey Museum about the story of enslaved and people of color in the Hannibal region, she helped me with Julia Greeley and several other sections there. And the Haygoods, there was a couple named Haygood, H-A-G-O-O-D, and I used their books for pictures and history, and Steve Chow and the Hannibal Historical Group there. I mean, that I really had to dig. And I went out and I just did a Google search. I'm going to be, you know, that's the best thing to do, right? Okay, who were the women of Hannibal? Because I wanted to have Molly Brown. Most people don't realize Molly Brown grew up in Hannibal. She was an Irish immigrant. Her name was Margaret Tobin. She never went by Molly. That was a moniker given to her by the journalist that wrote up the story about the Titanic. But Margaret, Maggie Brown, Maggie Tobin grew up in Hannibal, and then she married the Brown in Denver. Now, it is said that she met Sam Clemens, Mark Twain, once. Now, remember, there's decades difference in their age, but she was apparently working at the Park Hotel, and he was dining there, and he was the one telling her to go west and look for gold. Now, true, it's true enough. I don't want to think that they met. I want to think that he said that to her. And I think it's just such a great story. And not only did she wind up in Denver, Colorado, after she struck gold and used her money for good and really, you know, promoted the lives of women and to make them better and to have more ability to control their own destiny, Julia Greeley, who was the enslaved woman that was on a farm in outside of Hannibal, who came through Hannibal and worked for a white woman and wound up in Denver, who is set up to be a saint. This group of Franciscan brothers in Denver have started the Julia Greeley Guild. She was in Denver, Colorado, and she used to carry her red wagon through the streets after dark to give poor white people supplies and clothes, because she knew they would be ashamed to take something from an African-American woman. But she wanted to help them, and she had become a Catholic, and she was very devout. So I found, you know, this rich resource of women, and then, of course, the woman who was very active in organizing unions, because the women, the young girls in Hannibal, they could get jobs stripping tobacco. That's what Margaret Tobin did, Molly Brown. You could get a job as being a shirtwaist maker. You could get a job as being a bookbinder. And so, you know, the woman that moved to Chicago saw people doing these jobs, but living in tenements. And she, you know, began to organize unions. So, you know, there's just so much that people from Hannibal left and did, right? Not necessarily did it in Hannibal, but they started there and then went off and did it. So, you know, Cliff Edwards became the voice of Jiminy Cricket for Disney. And he was from Hannibal. So, you know, just a lot of people came from there and went and did things. And I was trying to work that in. There were so many avenues. Like you're talking about the Gilded Age mansions. You know, everyone from around the area knows about the avenues on 5th and 6th Avenue. And 5th Avenue was the place to live. That showed that you really made it. You made it and you had the money.
Just a quick note, Dia, I don't know about you, but if I met Mark Twain, he told me to go look for gold in Colorado, I'd probably be on the next whatever travel I had to get out of town to go to Colorado.
You got it. Me too. Me too.
And now looking at some of the other staples of Hannibal, you talk about the cemeteries and the caves, and as Mark Twain wrote about in a lot of his books, for that matter, did you or have you gone through a lot of these caves or cemeteries yourself?
I've been through the cemeteries. As far as the caves, you know, I've been in Mark Twain Cave, of course, because as a tour director, that's one of the places you go, especially with a student tour. I have not been in Cameron Cave, but I'm so excited that the new ownership there has opened it up and made it an adventure cave experience. But what we need to remember is caves were a big part of life when there was no air conditioning or refrigeration. When you read Tom Sawyer, Becky had her birthday party in the cave. Why? Because it was 110 degrees in the shade and you could go in the cave and it would be cool and it was big enough, you know, to have parties and have a gathering. So caves were a big part of just regular life, not just exploring or looking for ghosts or something like that. Like my mom grew up without electricity until she was 11. They would go put Jell-O into the cave by the spring and it chilled, and then they'd run all the way home hoping it wouldn't melt because they didn't have refrigeration. So, you know, that was a big part of it. And then caving, I found out, is seriously exploring caves. Spelunking is just kind of doing it for leisure or for fun. And the excitement of the discovery of the Myotis sodalis bat in the limestone quarry that were not natural caves, but caves made from mining the limestone. I mean, how cool is that? That was just an accidental discovery by a woman who grew up in Hannibal and remembered playing over it, where the old limestone quarry was.
We're speaking with Dia Hoover. She's the author of the book Hannibal, A Walk Through History. And how about before we get off, more of a wrap-up for you and also a little bit of a transition. You also have this fantastic tour company. It's called Are We There Yet LLC, correct?
Yes, Are We There Yet Tours, because isn't that what everybody says when they're riding in a car or on an airplane or on a train? It was a happy accident. So I take people across town in St. Louis and all over the world. So right now I'm speaking to you from Mackinac Island, and this is our annual tour here, and it's a wonderful place in Michigan, and it's been a great life. I started it back in 2005, and I bought a receptive tour company called Discover St. Louis, and I'm a tour guide and a tour director, and I love learning, and that's why writing these books during the pandemic really saved me intellectually and emotionally, because I was still learning, and I was able to share information with people. Because that's what I enjoy about being a tour guide.
Well, Dia, keep touring, keep learning. And with all that knowledge, please keep writing these books because they're fantastic. Thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you, Cameron. The next one up is Herman. That will be the next walking tour book. So we're going to go into the middle of the state for that one. People can even take the train there.
Okay, so the next one will be a walking tour on Herman. And this is by author Dia Hoover. Once again, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I've had fun.
This is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri.